would you like to finance your own deals? Doug Peacock will tell us how. He is the owner of Peacock Wealth Group. So, Doug, tell us, how can property investors finance their own deals?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Well, you got to have money, first of all, that you control, and not the idea that I do control it, but yet somebody else controls it. Control means that I don't have to ask permission. I don't have to get, board approval. I don't have to go through a bunch of steps to get the money that I need for the real estate.
Tell us more about that.
Well, I mean, I believe everyone needs a storehouse. Not every deal that comes along is the one that you want, right? I mean, we turn a lot of things down, or you should be turning a lot of things down. Maybe I should say that. But every deal is not perfect for us. So what if we could wait for the perfect deal and I had a storehouse for my money, that was guaranteed to grow, and it was tax-free growth, liquidity. I could use my money without taxes, without penalties. It's private, so it's off the radar screen of creditors as well as the IRS. And possibly when I'm all said and done, I could possibly use the millions of dollars in this tax-exempt cash flowing during retirement that never has to be claimed on a tax form. Now, all of a sudden, I've got a storehouse that becomes the most important thing that I can do because of all those benefits.
Thank you. But tell us more. What do we need to do to take advantage of this?
Well, you choose your own storehouse, but I want, my storehouse, I literally start with a storehouse that has uninterrupted, guaranteed compound growth. Now, everybody talks about compound growth, because they give you that nice ski slope, that graph that goes vertical. But nobody gets it because it gets interrupted. It gets interrupted by taxes or fees or Greece didn't make a payment to the World Bank again, whatever. There's so many things out in our world today that can cause a disruption of that. But the nice part is this is going to grow, and there's nothing I can do to stop it except quit. As long as I don't quit, it works.
Okay, but imagine I need $100,000 for a property deal. Tell me how to get this money.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna have $100,000 in this storehouse. Okay? And then literally with our storehouse, the ones that we use, it's literally 1-800 send me some money. Actually, most people are doing it digitally now. So you literally just go in and click a button, and they transfer the money to the fund that you use to buy your real estate from. Okay? The asset that we use is a 200-year-old asset, and it's called dividend-paying whole life insurance. And you've been told to hate that. But if it's got all of those benefits, just think about what it could do for your real estate business. You control the money in, you control the money going back in, okay? And when you take, we talk about leveraging and collateralizing money all the time. Well, that's what happens in this policy. Even though I take the loan from the insurance company, my pile of money does not stop growing. It grows just like I never touched it. Because truthfully, I never did. I didn't borrow my money. My money was far too valuable to borrow. So I'm going to let it sit there and grow forever and ever and ever and ever. Okay? But then I'm going to pay back that loan, not to a bank, but to the insurance company. And I control all of those paybacks. I control when I pay it. If I have a couple of bad months, nobody's foreclosing on the property. Okay, because I own the asset. And that's huge for people.
Thank you. I didn't quite understand how this works. So imagine I have $100,000 that I want to borrow from the bank on the basis of me wanting to, I guess, let's say if I want to get a $400,000 property and I don't know, $100,000, and you could qualify for like a buy to let, and then you would get a mortgage. How would, let's say, how would I replace that with something
Sure,
better than that?
sure, sure. Well, so first of all, I'm not going to use a bank because the bank controls too much of how much I can get, what I can get it for, how much I must pay back, at what interest rate I'm going to pay it back, and what if I miss a couple of months' payments? Are they real forgiving about that? Not at all. So let's flip the switch a little bit. Instead of using a bank, let's use a whole life insurance company where I have a policy there. And I've stored that money in the policy. I'm not using this as a life insurance play. There is a death benefit involved, and I want you to understand, it is not an investment, it is life insurance. And if you'll study the tax differences, you'll love it because there are tax benefits given to life insurance that are not extended to anything else. In fact, how you set that up will determine how the IRS treats your taxes. So it's critical. It's not a do-it-yourself. But instead of using the bank, let's use the insurance policy. Well, I've got to store the money up. Once it's there, I can literally borrow against that money that's in there from the insurance company to go buy the property. My $100,000, even though I pulled it out to go buy a property, my $100,000 is still growing, just
Okay.
like I never touched it.
Okay, so what you're trying to say is that I would have to first put up $100,000 of my money into this insurance.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And that money will stay in the bank, or where will this money go?
Stay in the insurance company.
It stays with the insurance company. Okay. And then I will, let's say if I need 400 whatever, $300,000 to buy a property, then I will be borrowing against this $100,000 that I put down.
Well, a couple things can happen. You can use this policy as collateral at a traditional bank if you wish to.
Okay.
Okay. Now, my experience with bank and bankers is they'll loan you their umbrella till it starts to rain, then they want the sucker back. So I'm just my point is, if I can act like a bank, where to let's talk about banks for a minute because they know how to make money. They own all the tall buildings downtown. They own almost every prominent street corner in your neighborhood, but are they buying the same things they push onto you? Fee-laden mutual funds, target date funds, CDs, money markets. Do banks own those? Not at all. BOLI, BOLI. It's called bank-owned life insurance. What? Excuse me. What? Banks are the number one purchaser of cash value life insurance on the planet. FDIC says about 3,800 banks has $190 billion of cash value life insurance. Why would they do that? The same reasons that I talked about earlier that I wanted it for. I want it safe, I want it growing, I want it tax-free, I want it available. All of those things that we just talked about is exactly why the bank did it. Bank of America has $22 billion in cash value life insurance. Wells Fargo, $19 billion. So you got to wonder, why are they doing something entirely different than what they're selling us? Well, so why not be a bank? Or at least act like one. You're not gonna get a bank charter. You're not gonna have all that money for that allows you to be a bank. But oh my gosh, what if I could act like one and I control all the money?
So how much money would I, first of all, let's say for people that have no money at all, they won't be able to finance their own deals because they won't be able to take advantage of this, right?
If you have no money, then you should not be financing your own deals.
Okay. Now let's imagine that
You
someone,
gotta have cash.
okay, let's say someone has only $100,000. They'll put this $100,000 into this life insurance thing that you mentioned.
Sure,
And how
policy.
much can they borrow against it?
Well, it depends on the company. It also depends on the person. As you know, it is life insurance, so you must qualify. Okay, so it's not a financial qualification, it's a health qualification. Okay,
Okay.
Women are far easier to insure than men because y'all don't do the stupid stuff that we do.
Okay.
So it also depends on age. It also depends on the level of your health. So each and every policy is different. Okay. But I mean, I have put single premiums into policies before. I'm going to give you a good example without using his name. He had a specific property he wanted. And he had $400,000 sitting in a CD earning nothing, right? Or next to nothing anyway. He took single premium, put it at $400,000 into his policy. He only needed $267 to buy the property. The nice part was it was an eightplex. It was already rented. The owner just didn't want to do it anymore. So he bought the property fully rented, fully cash flowing, and within 2 months, he was getting the cash flow off of that business because he used a policy. He didn't go through traditional financing. He used his own policy to buy the 267 was his payment, his down payment for that policy, for that property.
Isn't that the same as, like, let's say I have $400,000 cash, I will just buy cash. Isn't that the same thing?
Well, it appears to be that way, right?
Yes.
So another different lesson that I teach is you finance everything you buy, okay? We're really, really good at going to finance something, and we put it on monthly payments, and then we pay it off, right? We do that really, really well as Americans. What nobody tells us about is called lost opportunity cost. So when I spend that $400,000, I forfeit the right to earn an interest on that money forever and ever and ever, not only for myself, but for future generations.
Yes.
Okay. So that lost opportunity, are they the same? Not even close. Because I have lost that ability to earn interest on that $400,000 for the rest of my life.
Okay, so tell me, in this case, let's say this guy who puts the $400,000 in this life insurance policy and mm-hmm. then borrows $267 against this policy, and right. then what happens? This $400,000 is still giving him dividends every month?
Well, he's earning an interest.
Okay.
And the policies that we use are mutual companies. Now, it's a little bit in the weeds, but the bottom line is mutual companies have no stockholders. So who do dividends have to go to? There is no stockholder to give it to, so it has to go to policy owners. Mm-hmm. Now, dividends are not guaranteed, but I also want you to understand we only use companies that are 100 years old and have paid a dividend for the last 100 plus years consecutively.
Okay, so give me an example of how, what the income, how the income would differ, let's say for this guy who, put $400,000 into this policy. And give me an example of not necessarily what this specific guy makes, but let's say how it could differ versus him just buying cash, the property.
Sure. And it's not some... That part's on the person. I don't know what his income off that eightplex was, but I know it was enough that he could pay back his policy rather quickly because now he's going to do it again.
Yes, but I mean, I'm not talking to refer to because he would have bought the property. So either he's buying it cash with his $400,000 that he had, or he's buying it through the life insurance policy. So my difference was... how would the income differ if you accept the rent? Because the rent would be the same.
Yeah, I don't think the income changes.
The income doesn't change?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't do this, so I don't know. But the bottom line is that if I have 400 cash and I take 267 to buy the property, okay? I mean, I'm at 133 now in that policy. 133 doesn't earn anything close to what 400 does. So my policy is still growing with interest, still earning dividends. All of that's still happening, even though I've got the property also.
Yes, but give us an example of how much this could earn for someone once they invest in this policy.
That depends on your... I'm not going to tell you where to invest your money. I want you to invest what you understand. If it's real estate, which a lot of your people are, that's great. Have at it. I've got people who buy grass-fed beef. They buy cows with this money. Okay? Invest whatever you want to invest in.
Yes, but I'm referring to the life insurance dividends. Like how much are the dividends for that?
Every dividend is different from each company. Okay. It runs in the single digits right now, single middle digits. Okay. It's every year. The nice part about it is once a dividend is declared and becomes part of your cash value, it cannot be withdrawn. It cannot be reduced. It's not taxable. Everything that your money in your storehouse was doing is now includes it.
Okay, so I still don't understand like how much you can actually make by this method versus the method of just buying cash.
As much as you want. I mean, what's stopping you from doing this again and again and again and again?
Okay, but give me an example of what someone that you have worked with has made as an example, just so we can understand. What sums are we talking? Are we talking $500 a month? Are we talking 100? Because otherwise it's like so unclear. We don't know whether this is actually a worthwhile deal to go into.
Well, let's take two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
Okay. Single moms don't have money. Okay. They're not putting a lot of money into a policy.
Yeah.
$157 a month. That's not lots of money. But I contend that her $157 is very, very important, because if the washing machine breaks down, she's got to go fix the washer or buy a new one. And if she can't do that, then she starts using Visa, MasterCard, whatever, and now she gets into a spiraling depth that she cannot get out of, okay, because she doesn't have the cash flow. So I can also flip to the other end. I know of a man who puts $1.2 million a month into this policy. That's $14 million a year. Now, he's going to do it for 10 years. That's $144 million. He did not do it to buy properties with. Could he? Yes. But why did he do it? Because that $144 million, by the time he gets through the 10 years, is going to be somewhere close to $150 million. He can take that as a retirement income as $10 million a year, tax exempt, no place to put it on his tax forms, but yet the $150 million continues to grow like he never touched it. And he can take $10 million a year, tax free. That includes Social Security, Medicare, Part B, all those other taxes that come along with income tax. It depends on your amount of money. You don't need $1 million to do this.
Thank you. Give us an example, because I didn't understand, for example, for the ladies that, let's say, put $147 a month into this life insurance policy.
Sure.
I don't understand, how can they use that money once their washing machine breaks down?
Well, once you open the policy, there's two parts. There's a death benefit and there's a cash value. That cash value is your storehouse. Okay?
I don't know what you mean, actually.
It's just like a savings account. Okay? But it's available. It's going to grow. And it's not going to reduce in value when I borrow from it. That's what makes it different than most everything else on the planet, including paying cash. So if she loses her washing machine the first month, she's probably not going to have enough money in there to take care of that. So she's got to run it for a few months, okay? But the bottom line is eventually she's going to have enough money where she can buy the whole washing machine.
Okay, so you mean like she wouldn't actually withdraw the money from the life insurance? She would.
We're never withdrawing that money. It's too important. It's going to earn interest for me for the rest of my life.
So she would actually borrow money against this life insurance, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so let's say how much is a washing machine in the U.S.? I don't know, $1,000 or $500?
I don't know. I don't do the laundry and mama buys it. So let's just say it was $500.
Yeah.
Well, it may take her at $157 a month. It may take her 6 months, 7 months, 8 months to have that $500 available. Okay. You cannot borrow, in other words, you can't borrow more money than you have cash value.
Okay. I understand. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And then let's say that she borrowed $500 after 6 months. Then what's the terms for returning that money?
She determines that. She controls that because she is the owner of the policy. So if she wants to pay back $10 a month, that's fine. $100 a month, that's fine. What if you have a bad month, okay, and you can't afford the $100? Well, nobody's coming to get the washing machine because no, they've already paid you. So let's talk about this further. What if, excuse me a moment. What if I take a big loan out and I walk outside and get hit by a bus, okay? Well, the insurance company now has to pay the death benefit, which is always much larger than the cash value, okay? Now, if I took, for example, let's say my death benefit is $500,000, but I had a loan out for the $100,000. Well, now they're not going to pay my wife $500,000. They're going to pay my wife $400,000 because they already gave me the $100,000. But now everybody's equal. All right. So my point is the insurance company is more ready, willing, and able to loan you against this policy because they know eventually they're going to pay that big number.
Thank okay? you. So what do you pay to the actual life insurance company as their fee, for example?
Whatever the policy costs you. And that's different for everyone.
What's the, okay? What is the range, for example? It could cost anything or...
Well, we don't do it that, we don't sell this that way.
Okay.
We sell this with minimum death benefit, maximum cash value.
Okay.
I want this thing as a place to use money. Now, it will always have a death benefit that's larger than your cash value. It has to, or it's no longer insurance, it's an investment, and you get taxed differently.
Okay, I understand.
But if I can save that money and use it any place I want to, it doesn't have to be a $400,000 property. It could be a car. You know, I got three kids. You know, they all 16, it hits. Car fever hits and they want a car. Well, I'm not putting them in a $50,000 new car. I'm going to go buy a $5,000 beater somewhere till they learn how to drive. But now then, they get to use the policy. Dad owns it. But yet now I teach them how to do this through that policy. Because I can own policies on my children.
Okay.
Okay? It doesn't just have to be me and my wife. In fact, I have 6 grandkids. Guess who owns a policy on every grandchild?
You.
Yeah, me. Doggone right. Because now I've got... If you set them all up, I've got 10 banks to draw from that I own every one of them. Okay. Now they're not $40 million banks. Doesn't matter, but each one of them has a cash value and it doesn't have to be single. I mean, I can borrow off 3 grandkids to, but think about this. What's the insurance cost on a 1-year-old? Minimal. I mean, it's low, but what if Grandpa didn't need that money 20 years from now. That's a pretty nice graduation present, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
All I've got to do is sign the ownership over to that grandchild, and now it's their policy with the education on how to use it. Oh my gosh, I just made this thing generational. And that's my goal, is to make it a peacock family bank, if you will. Okay?
In terms of the dividends, like who decides how much dividend is being paid out?
That's totally the company. The dividend is just excess profits, okay? Where are those excess profits going? Well, there's no stockholders, so it has to go to the policy owners. The nice part about it, because it has a insurance title on it, those come to me tax-free. No sales charge, no cost to obtain them, nothing. And we only use companies that have paid dividends for over 100 years consecutively. That means all of them in a row. I mean, I can show you companies that can't do that 2 years in a row, let alone 100. I want somebody that's been through the battle before. I want somebody that's been through the Spanish flu when COVID shows up, right? The companies that we deal with didn't even wince when COVID come up.
So how does someone figure out which companies those are that are good ones to get a life insurance?
You got to hire a good coach, all right? Now, the nice part about it is you can hire me and never pay me because the insurance company that we use will pay me.
Ah, okay. Very interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, very good.
Well, and so that's why we take a lot of people who are in government qualified retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs, 403bs, 450s. I'm taking it's an alphabet soup, right? Who controls that money? It's not you. You go get that money before age 59 and a half. You're not only going to be taxed, you're going to hit with a 10% penalty. Let's flip it over. Let's go to age 72. If you don't take enough money out of there, you're not only taxed, but you're also going to get hit with a 50% penalty. If you're paying taxes and penalty, who controls that money? Not you, right? So let's get out of that stuff, and I can show you how to do that.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can find you.
Sure. PeacockWealthGroup.com. No spaces. It's easy, right? We do other things like pay for college. How do parents pay for college without wrecking your retirement plan or the equity in your home? Because that's everybody's answer, right? Well, now all of a sudden, Junior goes to college and costs way too much money, gets a degree he can't use anymore, and now all of a sudden, I got nothing coming back in for sending Junior to college. Well, I just destroyed my retirement. My golden years aren't golden anymore, okay? So we teach people a different way to do that. Lily, I never intended to be here. This was not my calling in life. I was a high school football coach for over 40 years. Okay? Loved football, still love football, loved to coach it, but eventually the body quit. And yet my retirement, the very thing that we're talking about, my 403B as a teacher, which is a 401k for teachers, is a 403B in the States. So it didn't go like it was supposed to go because they couldn't get the market to cooperate, which is a joke. They're never going to get the market to cooperate. Okay? So I had to find a different answer, and I found one. I got into this to teach my kids, my former students, my former players, all had student loan debt up to their eyeballs because they went to college. So what I did is I taught them how to use that cash value in that policy to pay Sally Mae. Our average was we had them out of student loan debt in 5 years with $25,000 sitting in that account to use however they want. That's not a bad place to be.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.